The only thing you need is your dancing shoes. It's a new month. Second month of 2023. I almost want to say already. That's what it feels like. It's like, already? I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station, now available on Alexa. Just say, Alexa, play UK Health Radio. How you doing? I hope, like me, you two remember that you are blessed and highly favoured. A magnet for miracles, the solution to somebody's problem, and the answer to someone's prayer. It is going to be a hard day today. But God never gives us more than we can handle. So, there are going to be some major walkouts today. Hundreds of thousands of workers are going on strike in the biggest day of industrial action for more than a decade, right? So teachers in England and Wales are striking. I think their nurses are striking today. There are the RMT and ASLEF unions are striking today. So it's like you can't get no trains. And it's not a day to be sick. About 123 government departments are set to be disrupted by industrial action as well. The thing is, we have Nadeem Zahawi, who was overseeing the HMRC, who made a mistake with a £5 million tax bill. But if you make a mistake for £1, trust me when I tell you, they're coming for your house. So we can't make mistakes, but they can. A good leader shows his team what is right. If you want to be in a position of authority, the Bible tells you straight, there can be no spot on you. You can't be in a position of authority that have these places. I mean, it's like, you know, we look and we think to ourselves, what is going on? Because the public sectors that we rely on to teach our children, to help make us well, the ones we rely on for, excuse me, to educate our children, the ones we rely on to make us well, you know, those frontline workers, the ones we rely on to get us from A to B, to get us to work, to interviews, to see loved ones, all of those people, we don't seem to think deserve a decent level of pay. I know the underground have what they call a reasonable wage, right? They do have a good pay. But when people jump in front of their trains, they have nightmares forever and a day. They're responsible for getting millions of people from A to B, non-stop, consistently. And we don't think for a second, what are these guys doing? You know, the hours they have to be up and where they need to be. We're so self-centered, we don't focus on, you know, what is it costing somebody else? A lot of the hospitals, what's gone wrong with the NHS? And we talked about this in part two with Dr. Loretta on cervical cancer, although this month is World Cancer Awareness Month. What we did talk about was saying that the NHS is unsustainable as it is. And that is a fact, and we can't get away from that. But I listened to a doctor, as I mentioned last week, and he made some seriously valid points. And, you know, I suppose when you think about what you have to sacrifice to become a doctor in the first place, in terms of years of learning, what it costs you, and then when you get there, your initial reward, the pay that you're given. I spoke to a friend of mine yesterday, and his son's working in the bank. He's 22 years of age. And he started on 28,000. I don't think nurses start on 28,000. He's had a review, and now he's on 36. We value money. The Bible says, you know, to make your choice, because God, which you worship, God will worship money. If you worship money, it's going to lead you down a place that's not very well. But I'm not saying that you know, young people shouldn't earn well. I'm not saying that for a second. I applaud him. Fantastic. But we have to get this balance right. You took 11% pay rise in 2020 and said you won't take one in 2021, but you want to give the nurses 1% or 0.5%. 0.5% of a wage that puts them on a food bank. But worse than that, you sold off the car parks, and the nurses and doctors that come to work have to pay to park their car to work to save lives. How can there not be a staff car park that accommodates all the staff that's free? Why are staff car parks being paid for? That's the greed of people that decided to buy land and decide to charge everybody who has the nerve to put a car on it. Now look at this. You talk about public transport. You don't want to pay them. They're on strike. Could you imagine all the public transport on strike and not nurses and doctors taking public transport, and they can't get a lift to work. They can't get the public transport system to get to work to save lives. Then when they get to work, they've got to pay how much of their wages they have to spend to park their car, because a private enterprise is making money out of people turning up for work. We've lost the plot. And then when I watched the news the other day, it's very rare do I watch the news, and I saw that we're the worst performing country in Europe. This train has only just started to leave the station. We have to remember that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, blessed and highly favoured. But we have put our lives and our futures into the hands of people who have made sure they've lined their pockets first. I know if the airplane is crashing, it says put the mask on, the oxygen mask on yourself first, then save everybody else. But they've literally done that. They've lined their pockets with money that they can't even spend in this lifetime. They can't take with them. And the greed is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And the thing about it is it's so blatant. And then they say we've got a cost of living crisis. We've got this issue that we have to worry about, which puts more fear in people, which makes more people sick. But we don't have the infrastructure to cope. So what are we going to do? How are we going to make things better? We have to find a different way. We have to try and look at a way to distribute the wealth more fairly, so that we don't have pockets of the haves and the have-nots to the point where people just, you know, people are just robbing people on the street. And I mean, look, it's been said a million times over, they believe they make good money robbing people. For me, that means they have a strategy and a system in place. So they could turn that into a legitimate business, a strategy and a system to make money, rather than deciding that someone else has made it and you'll take it. This whole thing where people believe they should just be given, or if they're not given, they'll take it, but they're not given, it's crazy. We were all created for a purpose. None of us are mistakes. And we should all understand our plan and our purpose for life. But we have turned away from the word and we want to live the way we want to live. Then we don't understand what's going wrong. So how does that work? How do you want to live the way you want to live? Self-centered and all about yourself. And then when things go wrong, you're in trouble. I heard a great quote when I was doing Bible study last week. And it said, if you are your only option, when things go wrong, you are definitely in trouble. Because you cannot see a way out. If you only rely on yourself and you are your only option. This was talking in line with suicides and stuff. It's because people don't see another way. And when you think all your options have been exhausted and you are your only option, then you believe the only option you've got is just to end your life. It's a very, very sad circle where you don't see anything higher than yourself, when you don't think there's anything out there, when you go, look what I created, look what I did. I've never seen a man with one leg walk. I've seen him hop, but I've never seen a man with one leg walk. And that's the difference. You need both legs so that one moves. And it's like locomotion. It's like the wheels on the train. They have that bar that goes across and that goes around that allows everything to move in that sort of circular motion so that everything keeps moving forwards. We have our two legs that carries us from A to B, left, right, right, left, right, left, so that allows us to move. But we have to understand that we need to work together. It's about relationship. There's a relationship between the left and right side of the body. There's fibers that run from one side to the other that keeps us all connected. We have to understand that. And in the same way, there needs to be relationship and partnerships with work and food and nutrition and just even with people in general. But if we don't understand that, if we don't get that, then we're always going to find ourselves in positions where we're going to struggle. If it's all about me, myself, and I, you'll be in trouble. You really will. Anyway, that's all I've got to say on the subject there. I want to bring back in Dr. Loretta. So we just finished it for the last 10, 15 minutes. I just couldn't fit in last week. But again, we finished about choice. And then I shared on my LinkedIn post this week where I said living well is a choice. And it's not, and I pray that no one was upset by the comment last week or even what they said this week, but there has to be a point of personal accountability. So when things start to go wrong, don't look at yourself and again with your negative thoughts, don't start saying, what have I done? Nothing could go right for me. Okay, I did this and it didn't work. So let me try it another way. Because the solution is always within the problem. It's always within the problem. But if we become so consumed by the problem, we will never see the solution. And that's the whole point of understanding that if the mind is closed to the possibility, then the eyes will always be closed to the opportunity. Because if you cannot see it in your mind's eye, in your mind's eye, as opposed to your physical eye, you will always struggle. So if you cannot see the possibility within your mind, then you could walk straight past the opportunity. And I think one of that great thing there for me is that when I was at Expert Empires last September and I met the amazing Susie Ashworth, she was a headline speaker in the afternoon and Steve Bartlett was the headline speaker in the evening. Now, the beautiful thing is Susie Ashworth came out to the bar in the evening just to mix and see people. And I approached her immediately. And being blessed to have this radio show, I asked her if she would be a guest on my show, which she kindly agreed to. And then we spoke and I shared that interview. You can go back and find that interview with Susie Ashworth. I shared that about infinite receiving. And as we were talking before we started, I asked her a couple of questions and I asked her, I think she said something about her birthday. It was in October, her birthday. I asked her what date it was and she said it was the 19th. I said, oh, it's like my good mate, Sunita. Now, we're all ordinary people. But sometimes we're connected to people whom we see as extraordinary. People who are celebrities, who are stars, who we don't expect to meet. I met Sunita because I was teaching classes at the Harbour Club where Princess Diana used to train. And Sunita was there. And we formed a friendship, which, you know, even I did for the first 3 months, thought, is it her? Is it her? Nah, she's coming. Do you want to go for a drink? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? Now I'm thinking, you in your head, see, again, it's what you think, right? Well, a celebrity wouldn't just come up to me and just say, do you want to hang out? Why would they do that? They love my class, but why would they want to hang out with me? That would be the thinking. But it was her. So we've been friends since 2001. How did I know that this lady and this lady would get to meet at some point? How did I know? I didn't know, but you don't know what your future holds. I spoke with Susie. Sunita has been her muse since she was young. I've connected the two together, and now great things will happen. So I use the opportunity to be able to bring a great guest onto the show to let you guys know that even in lockdown, Susie made 4.2 million. She would be seen as an ordinary person, okay? But her muse is Sunita. And so really, I was a stepping stone that brought her there. She's become one of my clients. So from being my guest to being a client, I'm working on improving her posture. And Sunita's now become one of her clients because she'll become a speaker for her. I mean, you know, sometimes we don't know what's there. But if you see things that are outside of your control, then God will bring things together for you. And it can really be the most amazing experience. But I want to bring in the last part of Dr. Loretta. So I'm going to play the trail and a track, and then we'll listen to the last part of Dr. Loretta. But like I said, everything is a choice, and we have choices. We can choose to believe, we can choose not to believe. But we can believe in ourselves, or we can believe in something outside of ourselves. And I would want to encourage you to believe of something outside of yourself, because then you don't become your only option, and then you do have hope. And I think the beautiful thing is this, is that when I listened to Bible study this morning, they said, you know, if it's not God's time, you can't force it. But when it is God's time, you can't stop it. So it's just about understanding that in the waiting, do something. So patience is a virtue. It is a virtue. It's a characteristic. In that waiting, you can do something. And the first thing you can do is affirm words. Like, when this, don't say, if I had. People say, if I won the lottery, I would. When I. Now, if you don't play it, you don't have it. If you're waiting to have all the trappings in life when you win the lottery, that's a false economy too. So when you win the lottery, you would do X, Y, Z, A, B, C. So how about making a plan to saying, right, you know what? When I win the lottery, I'd buy a house. Okay, what would I need to do to buy a house now? Because that's winning the lottery. Getting yourself the steps and putting the things in place that allows you to be able to buy a house, let's say that for argument's sake, that is as good as winning the lottery. But you've done it in your own strength, not gambled it and sat there anxiously, with your heart palpitating and just like, and having, you know, hyperventilating, waiting to see if your numbers come up. Your numbers can come up if you align your own balls, not the ones that are on TV. It's not even on the TV anymore, is it? I don't do the thing. But anyway, let's play a trail. We'll come back.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Fråga inte vad som hände mig. Fråga inte vad som kom sen när allt är över. Det spelar ingen roll. Vi har inget att säga, inget att prata om. Du vet redan vad jag behöver för oss. Tänker på vad du sagt. Där ingenting alls, ja det kommer ordna sig. Lova, 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 lova. Alltid på varann, inte utan min man. Men du måste lova mig att vi blir samma gamla, samma gamla, samma gamla, samma gamla.
Samma gamla, samma gamla, samma gamla. Varför ska jag låsa times they've given them these names in public health because they are very closely linked to your choice of diet, your choice of activity, your choice of food. They are closely linked to your own
lifestyle,
your lifestyle choices.
Mm.
And I know people are going to say, oh, are we being judgmental? Are we being, are we actually saying those who have obesity are responsible for their obesity? We are not saying that directly, but we are saying take responsibility for your actions. I'll use myself as an example. There are times I am just so lazy, I don't want to get out of bed. But then there are days I am very, very old, like va-va-voom and doing everything. I found out that there are times in between when I really don't want to do things. So what do I do? Those are the times I would rather use the stairs than the lift at work. There are the times that I will decide to walk very quickly between the wards on a ward round. I'm going alone if I'm not going with my team. There are the times that, you know, I would even go into a patient's room on labor ward. My patients have come to know that. And I look for an extra betting ball and I sit on it and I'm doing my own pelvic floor exercises and having a chat with the patient on a ward round. So I believe that each of us in the place where we work, we can actually make little tweaks. How late do you eat? For those of us who night shifts, have you understood the dynamics of the circadian rhythm of the hormones in your body?
Tell them.
Have you understood that actually before I go for my night shift, I should eat a decent meal and not go snacking, especially those of us who work in places where people are very appreciative.
Oh, if my gosh.
You work on the labor ward, everybody's going to bring chocolates and you're going
to... Isn't it funny? But then you've got vending machines in hospitals. You've got in the hospital, the nutrition in hospital is bad. It is really bad. It has to be said, the nutrition in hospital, it doesn't exist, right?
Yes.
But I've always said that your body is your business. But what happens is when you want to do what you want to do that minimizes your health, you go, it's my body, I can do what I want. When your body starts to fall apart because it's your body, you can do what you want, and you want it to look well, then suddenly, Dr. Loretta, my body becomes yours and you've got to fix me. How does that work?
Yes, your healthcare providers have got that responsibility to actually do what is right and do no harm. And in the hospitals, at least I can speak for the NHS, they make effort. You know, they make effort to do the right meals at the right, well, proportions. And they also take notes of specific diet for certain patients, you know. However, I find that there are patients who are admitted and then they take a stroll. I've seen diabetic patients who will take a stroll downstairs to
the vending machine.
To the vending machine.
I want a chocolate. I want a biscuit. But you know what I mean? What I mean is, when I say to people, your body is your business, I think to myself, I've been in this body, sassy, sexy, 60, for sassy, sexy, 60 years, right?
Yeah.
I know what I've been doing to this body for 60 years. I've got 10 minutes in front of you. How the hell can my body be your business? I mean, I can come to you for help, but what it should be the right questions. It's not judgmental. It's how have I helped myself before I found myself in this position? The reason why I believe the NHS is so overwhelmed is because it's no longer being or available to be used for the reasons it was initially created. We've got so many lifestyle diseases that actually is overwhelmed with self-inflicted things without sounding judgmental. And then because the capacity is such, if that's too much, where is the space for when it really for those who really need it? Does that make sense?
So this is why these kind of programs that you are doing are very important. And a lot more of us should take time out to do these kind of things because we need to empower people with information and we need to empower people and inspire them. There's never a time when it is too late to start to make changes,
Amen.
No matter how tiny they may be. And you're right. The NHS is overwhelmed today because of the recklessness and irresponsibility of some of us. You know, I've seen people who have had transplants free on the NHS, and after that, they go smoking or drinking with those organs that have been transplanted. We've seen it before in public space even, you know. So I actually believe that, yes, the NHS is, I mean, this is a bit deviating from the original topic, but it's all linked. The NHS has now come to that point when we need to review it, because I studied healthcare systems for 18 months of my life at Edinburgh and as part of my public health research studies. And the NHS as it is not sustainable. That's the honest truth. We need to do something. And I think what we need to do is to revise those things that facilitate wastage. I have some women who I've seen who would call an ambulance 30 times in the 9 months in which they are pregnant. You know, every little thing they call an ambulance, and someone may be having a cardiac arrest somewhere and need that ambulance. You know, it gets to a stage where the whole team is praying that they give birth because they've been there with no obvious problems other than self-inflicted problems of choice, drug misuse and all of those things, which obviously we need to actually look after them for, but we don't necessarily need to waste our common patrimony for. So we need to reduce some of these things. I believe that if we make people to say, pay just £5 at the point at which we call the ambulance, it may just reduce the number of call-outs we have.
£5, yeah. I ain't got £150 today, so I'll call them once. I honestly do agree with you, honestly, but we're running out of time. As per usual, running out of time.
We can devolve more money to cancer, you know?
Yeah.
Cervical cancer, ovarian cancer, and all of that.
So your closing message to women regarding cervical cancer, because Dr. Loretta and I, just we like to just talk about all things health, and we're going to be like that. She's my resident doctor now. I've claimed her. I've taken her. I haven't handcuffed her to my show, but I will do virtually. So what's your closing message to my women?
So closing message to our women out there is that we love you. You matter. Every woman matters.
Amen.
And we are saying that you must admit and accept that you matter to yourselves. So with respect to cervical cancer, as with everything else, you must at least take those steps and affect the things you can do. And going for screening is very important, especially our sisters in the Black and ethnic minority groups as well. Please, please take your screening seriously. And for those of us who have young children coming up, kindly let them have the HPV vaccines. Recently, somebody was telling me that, oh, if my daughter has the HPV vaccine, it's a license for her to be promiscuous. I'm like, no, it is not. Please let your children have these vaccines because they've been proven to help prevent the HPV. And even if you've got contraception, my dear women, and you have multiple sexual partners or you are high-risk behavior, use condoms. And men out there, if you have a history, let your partner know. It may affect how seriously they take their screening. Overall, cervical cancer is real. We are losing a lot of women to it. It's the fourth most common cancer in women. And worldwide, we should take it seriously. January is the cervical cancer month. And we should remember that it's the teal color and green, the teal green color and white ribbon.
Amen. I did a post the other day.
Yeah.
The smear is not, it's not dignified. It's not comfortable, but it might just save your life.
Might save your life. And remember, next month is the World Cancer Month. Yeah, February. And we have the World Cancer Day, and it's going to be about bringing care to all, bridging the inequalities, because they do exist.
Well, we'll have a conversation about that as well the next month. Dr. Loretta, as always, you are a breath of fresh air.
Seriously, your cervix is yours.
That's right.
Mine.
That's right. That's right. Oh, and I meant to say one thing. We didn't cover it. We'll cover it next time. Now, I've got to put this in there. Sorry, I have to just deviate for 2 seconds. Very quickly, we've got to do this. We've got 3 minutes to do this, right? The LEAP surgery. So I've seen a lot of people online have had the LEAP surgery. Depends, I think, on how much of the cervix has been removed.
And then
they found it really hard to then have orgasms after.
Yeah.
I know there are other ways to have orgasms. So I've read those things. But again, that's about being in touch with understanding how your pelvic floor works, understanding intimate mm-hmm. health. We've talked about different foods you can take that can increase lubrication, phytoestrogens, understand mm-hmm. that you need to have. And so nutrition and lifestyle, that is obviously.
And your partner needs to understand your body as well. Help them understand your G-spot, because you could use the clitoris if you've taken out the cervix. You could. And just to say, Jenny, we are having a hysterectomy conference, the first of its type in the UK. And it's first of April.
Fantastic. Oh, well, I'm going to be there. I'll be there to speak.
Yeah.
Excellent.
In Milton Keynes.
Oh, yes, down the road, mate. I can just drive up the road. It's fine. Dr. Loretta.
Mwah.
I'll speak to you soon.
Yeah.
All right, my darling. Lots of love.
Bye. Makes you
feel good. Bye-bye.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We'll turn this around. 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 We'
I do hope you found Dr. Loretta very enjoyable. So, let's see. There's a lot of strikes, and you can find a nice little chart. If you go into the news feed, you can find a nice little chart that tells you who's striking and who's not. So, the sort of salmon colour is education, light green is travel, light blue is NHS, purple is gov, and a lime yellow, lemony yellow is other. So, on the 30th of January, the teachers and the 31st, that was the teachers striking in Scotland, the nurses in Scotland, no, nurses, just nurses, ambulances, British Museum, oh my gosh, they're striking all week, ambulances. Now today, it is the rail, teachers in England and Wales, university staff, civil service, ambulances in the Northwest, and Department for Works and Pensions in Liverpool are across the whole week. Tomorrow, on Thursday, physiotherapy, ambulances in the Northern Ireland, health and social care, ambulances, health and social care. So they're going out as well. Friday, it's rail, Dagio, ambulances in the West Midlands. Saturday, it's the tubes. Gosh. So, we've got some stuff going on, haven't we? But hey, this is why there'll always be an argument for using your own car. But if you live in certain areas, like I said, like where we are, where the transport and rail system is really bad and really poor, you don't need it. The air quality, the ultra-low emission zones that Sadiq Khan has brought in, that he's just pushing out into areas where they're much more open up. They're not as built up as it is in London, not as congested. They're not in big cities. So therefore, the air pollution is not as bad because it's not trapped by all the buildings and it doesn't have the same flow of traffic. But because transport for London are struggling so much, as I said, then really it just becomes the motorist who ends up paying for everything. But the state of the roads destroy their cars. They don't get fixed. The money goes back in. It used to be that anything that came out in terms of transport went back in to fix the highways, but it's not that. It's used to do other things. And you've got all these quieter neighbourhoods, which means you've pushed all the traffic into one place. So you shift the pollution from one place, but you put it onto the main roads. But that's where everybody is, because that's where everybody's going shopping. That's where everybody's waiting for public transport in terms of the buses. And so, you know, you just shift the congestion around. I think that the problem is when we built up London, we didn't allow for space. We don't value green areas. So it's interesting that we talk about air pollution, And where I live here in Enfield, do not get me wrong, because I'm very much about climate change. I do understand that. But where I live in Enfield, Tottenham Hotspur football ground has been allowed by our council, Enfield Council, to buy off massive sections of 40 Hall estate, which is woodlands and country park. They've sold the golf course and they've sold parts of the woods. The woods where I've been running in for 20 years are now going to become private property so that Tottenham Hotspur and their little consortium can build houses. So we don't actually value greenland. We don't actually, the greenbelt bits are saved in conservative areas. I thought this was one of those areas where they conserve it. This is for people here who enjoy it. During lockdown, the woods were used extensively and they're still used extensively today. But there was no public consultation to let us know that the council had intentions of selling off the woods and the lands, the fresh air, the oxygen, the places where we can take our children and our grandchildren so they can actually be away from traffic, away from pollution, and actually be able to have free-flowing air where they can see deer, where they can see rabbits, where they can see wildlife, you know, at its best. That is being sold off to Tottenham Hotspur and their consortium to build and develop houses. They've done it in Trent Park, and now they're doing it here. So they're just moving in and in and in. So really, if we want to talk about neighbourhoods and we want to talk about pollution and we just keep building up inside of London. And then in the next breath, we keep saying the air quality is really poor. But when these trucks come in to build, they destroy the infrastructure. They destroy the roads, the pollution. They destroy it. Look, it's ridiculous. There really isn't any more space as such in London to continue to build at the rate in which people are building. And the higher we go up and the more dense we make it, of course the air pollution will be bad, regardless. Then we have to also think about climate and the climate changes and the extremes. We've got this big push for electric cars. This winter, electric cars really, really struggled. Because the minute the temperature dropped the way it did, the electricity was sucked up like a nutter. So you would be driving in your car and you couldn't put your heater on. I mean, the level of discomfort is ridiculous. The tax may be low next year when they start taxing the cars. But with the cost of electricity, suddenly it doesn't become such an attractive proposition. The fact that you get in your car and you can't wait in the cold, you turn it, you know, you turn on your heating in the car because it's too cold, so cold to even cover and hold the steering wheel. But if you've got an electric car and you turn the heating up, you ain't going very far. And then of course, and if you don't have a charging point at your house, you're in trouble. So it's like you're going round and round in circles. And then we become the worst producing country. We've got to worry about our currency. We've got to worry about what is actually going on. And it's not that people shouldn't be able to make money, because I understand that every single day. I run my own business as well. And we're all trying to survive. But I'm a person that goes to church and I pay my 10% tithes. They have to be paid. Because the church then does outreach and helps those that don't have. And you have to remember that whatever you give, it will always come back to you, pushed down, shaken together and running over. You don't stress about it and go, well, I can't give because I don't have for myself. But we have more than a lot of other people. So I got out of my bed this morning, under my lovely covers. I'm a very anal person when it comes to ironing my sheets and stuff. I do not get into a bed that's been freshly, you know, where the sheets have been freshly washed. They must be ironed. I don't know if anybody else is like that, but that's just me. And then you just iron the sheets and get into that bed. So that's that comfort, you know, having a life, lovely hot shower. I can just go into my bathroom and turn the tap on. And it's just those real simple, simple things. But there are people out there who are homeless who don't have that. They don't have that ability to, you know, be anal enough to go, oh, my sheets need to be crisp and ironed before I get into my bed. They don't have that bed to get into. They may have had it and circumstances may have changed and they no longer have it. So I recognise that. I give thanks for that. I give thanks for the hot water. I give thanks for the food in my fridge. I give thanks. I'm not saying I have a lot, but I have. But when I remember what I have and what somebody doesn't have and has less than me, then I have a lot. So I think really it's about understanding where we are, about lifestyle choices, that actually if we can make better choices for ourselves, then those that haven't been able to do that, who may need that help, we free up the space for them to have access to that help. And we don't block it by making lifestyle choices. That means we call on the resources that we have and don't leave space for those who really need those resources that they need. That makes sense. But we come to the end of the show. I hope you've enjoyed this week. I hope it's been a blast and a blessing for you. It is World Cancer Awareness Month, and we have to understand, I'm going to be covering a bit more about cancers and just about foods in general and how we can try to improve our digestive function, our detoxification function, which will create better hormone balance and actually help to offset sicknesses and diseases that we seem to find are becoming more and more prevalent. So the more technologically advanced we become, the more sick we become. So that makes no sense. It makes no sense to me, and it shouldn't make any sense to you, and you should want it to be different. But if you want to find me, if you want to be a part of my Optimizing Health 60-Day Challenge, which starts on the 1st of March, I'd love you to be a part of that. I'm going to talk about that more in detail next week. Then you can get in touch, pelvicsecrets@icloud.com. You can do it online. I had clients online in St. Lucia, in Barbados, and in the USA. So it is possible. And I made some at Bulgaria as well. So I made some amazing, amazing transformations and testimonies that you can check out, which will be available later this week on my my Instagram feed. So at Pelvic Secrets, you'll find me on Instagram and Twitter. Jenny Russell, JENNI, you'll find me on Facebook and on LinkedIn. You can find my posts. So I also comment on a lot of things that are going on. And just to end the show with saying, as a black woman, it's quite distressing when you find out that there are, I know like Fox News is quite a racist channel, which is quite sad really. And there is a guy, I can't remember his name, who is a real racist broadcaster. But his belief is that the reason why those killings happen is he blamed it all on single mothers. Single mothers. I don't want to end the show to say, as a single mother, I just know that all I can say to the man is, get behind me, Satan. You can't be talking to me. And so many single mothers who have got amazing, amazing children, who do amazing, amazing jobs. We're not all angry. We're not all vengeful. We're not all raising feral children. It's an unfair statement, because I know people who are in positions of power and influence who have some seriously feral children. So let's not brush or paint everyone with the same brush. And let's remember that life is colourful, life is diverse, life is for living. Some of us choose to live well, some of us don't choose to live well. Some of us are blinded by prejudices, some of us are not, but we are all God's creations and we all have the right and the ability to live life well. It's about choice, as I started at the beginning of the show and I'll end, it is about choice. We know what is right and what is wrong, and we can choose to do right or wrong, whether it be to other people, whether it be to ourselves, whatever it is, the choice is ours. But we have to remember that wherever we find ourselves today, it is as a result of the decisions and choices we make. So take care. God bless.